For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord. This is Paul speaking. For this reason, I bow my knee, and it's talking about the mystery of the gospel and the unity that we have in Christ, this newness we have together. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to his riches in his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Now that, I'm telling you, this is so hard to just go over. I have a point for tonight. I want to stop here because this is really, really great stuff, but I don't have time. Other than to point out that he is talking about that he would grant you according to his riches and glory. You talk about the Department of Treasury. That's the Department of Treasury since it's the 4th of July. That's Department of Riches and Glory. That's the treasury I want to tap into. To be strengthened with might through his inner spirit in the inner man. He's talking about getting a hold of you and I, who where we really are. It's the Spirit's work to do a work in us. What a wonderful truth. And that Jesus, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. That word dwell is talking about be at home, set up residence with us. Dwell with us. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Well, that's some powerful words. You're going to have Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints that it is width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. One of the commentaries, and I wish I could remember which one it was, mentioned this aspect of describing a cube and how it, in Scripture, it is a perfection. And the beauty of it is no matter what angle you look at a cube, you know, a one by one cube, it always looks the same. It's always the same. No matter what angle you take it, you see that it's the same dimensions. There's a beauty to that, something we can depend on. And it's talking about this in regards to the love of God. The deeper you look at it, it's just wonderful. It's just great. It goes on to say, now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Father, I pray that you'd help me to deliver the message you laid on my heart, and I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, God's greatest resource is love. He's talking about it in this passage. He also said about it in Psalms chapter 50, verse 12, a portion of the last part of it says, the world is mine and all of its fullness. Let me remind you, we are connected with the creator, sustainer, God of the universe. If you are a believer, that is your Father. That's a, you know, I'm telling you, you really don't have to say, well, I don't know if I can make it through this. No, he says he's with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We can do all things through him. These are tremendous truths. If you start to connect with it, there is tremendous power. God's greatest resource, notice this, riches of his glory, okay, that's what we're working with, may be able to comprehend all with the saints, what is the width and depth, and he's saying that we would, his riches of glory, that we would comprehend this love. He wants you and I to comprehend the love of God. The love of God, which he loved us so much that he died for us individually. When you read Scripture, you start to come to the realization that if you and I, or if I would have been the only human being, God would have loved me so much he would have still sent his Son. That's how much. It's individual. He does it for us. He loves us. And and love is defined as sacrificially giving of oneself to meet the need of another. We got the almighty, all-powerful God of the universe sacrificially wanting to meet our needs. And he wants this love to be comprehended by us. And that's the problem right there. By the way, do you recognize that God loves you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you recognize that God's loved you? Or are you saying, well, this is a horrible life. I don't understand how I ended up in this situation. No, your thinking is garbage. That's a big problem. God loves you. If you're one of His, God loves you. And if you're all thinking about how horrible things are, you have got to get another view. Because your things are not the main event. The main event is God. And we're to love Him and the fact that He loves us and knows us and died for us and saved us, opened up our hearts to Him. That's the key. And that's to carry us beyond the circumstances. Do you get my message? Get where I'm going? This is no little issue. We need to fall in love with our God instead of just taking Him in automatic pilot. Just go about life as if, oh, well, He doesn't really know where I am. He knows where you are. He even knows that you weren't thinking about Him. You weren't caring about Him. He knows all of that, and He still loves us. Down here in 9, to know the love of Christ. Yeah, I'm telling you, that's key. Fall, and you know why I say this? What is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. This is the greatest commandment. Yet we just get caught up in our lives. We get caught up in our financial problems and our personal problems and our legal problems. And we just get overwhelmed. No! Don't get overwhelmed. If you know Jesus, be in love with Him. Be in love with God. That's the point. Read the Word. Meditate on the Word. Pray for an understanding of this because you want to comprehend this. You want to know this. You want to experience it in its fullest because in that you'll find the power of God to live. This person was a writer. He obviously is a believer when you read it. All I could read, I found the quote, and then I searched on the internet to try to understand who this man was. He was a writer in the 1800s. He published all sorts of books, and they didn't look like Christian books, but you read this quote, and you say, I think this guy knew God. I think he knew God through Christ in a very meaningful way. Love flows down. The love of a parent for their child has always been far more powerful than that of a children for their parents. In the same way, no man has ever loved God more than 1,000th of the love that God has given us. You know, I'm a father of 6, grandfather of 16. I had my parents too. I can honestly say he is right on the money. No parent, no child loves the parent as much as the parent loves the child. There's something different about that. And even in a more greater way that we are challenged to do our level best to get a hold of, God loves us 1,000 times more than that. Augustine, I think he's in the 600s, isn't that right? I'm right on something in that time frame. God loves each of us as if there was only one of us. He's on in that. That's Bible. That's truth. That's how much He loves us. It's hard to imagine when there's billions of people, but God knows you and He knows me. Experiencing God's power. And I've got to hurry here. God's greatest resource is love. And we need to tie into this. That is why He commands us to do it. Not that we ought not to be holy, because He is holy. It tells us that. But the emphasis comes back around to loving Him and loving others. This great resource, Ephesians 3-19 teaches that. And God also, God's love is to be our life. Now, listen. You got to stop and think about what I just wrote up there. God's love is to be our life. It's not about you getting over an addiction. It's not about solving a marriage problem. It is not about solving a financial problem or a legal problem. God's love is to dominate our life. Now, not that we would run away from these other things or avoid them, but we would do them in a love relationship with God, and we would make that a priority. So here's what it is for me. I'm speaking to you, and I'll tell you what, as I read through this, and the reason why I'm sharing is that it really made a difference to me. I said, no, I've got to rejoice in that and do these other things. But the main event is my love relationship with my God. Philippians 1:9 is a powerful verse. It really is. It's a game changer once you understand it. Philippians 1:9 says this, "And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and all discernment." Paul was saying to the Philippians, this is the event. Have it grow and grow and grow in knowledge and discernment of who, what the Word of God says and who God is. But your love for Him and for others is what's supposed to be growing in our lives. And as you have that grow, you will watch these other problems start to fade into insignificance. What makes a Christian unique? Well, I'll tell you what. A lot of people would say, well, we don't do a lot of things. I don't want to be a Christian yet because I got life to live. I hurt for people when they say that. But their concept of what a Christian is rules. What is unique about the Christian faith? What's different about us than the Muslims? What's different about us than the Hindus? What's different about us than the Satan worshipers? What separates us from every other one of these organizations and entities and religions? And I'll tell you what it is. It's this four-letter word. It's love. It's our love, and it's not an emotional thing. It is a decision of our will to sacrificially give of ourselves to meet the need of another. It's a decision of our will to say, God, I love you. I thank you. I know you. What the world really needs is more love. This is Pearl Bailey. I thought that was kind of funny. But he's in the midst of being funny, he's true. What the world really needs is more love and less paperwork. What I would say as an American citizen, what the world really needs is more love and less Obamacare. You know, you start reading about what that thing has for us, it's pretty grim. It frankly is going to just Lord help us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, what are you and I supposed to be doing? Being rooted and grounded in love. That's what you and I are supposed to do. Because Christ is so richly dwelling in our hearts, taking up residence in our hearts. Does that look like anything you were working on today? As a believer, you should have been working on being rooted and grounded in the love of God. And by the way, you would know it by the way you interacted with others. Rooted and grounded, comprehending it, to know the love, then be filled with this. Well, you have to end up, how does this happen? I mean, how do you do this? Isn't that a great question? How do you do this? Okay, I'm going to answer that. Two words. One is meditation, the other is contemplation. Meditation, contemplation. I'm going to define meditation as thinking in a specific direction, a focus. I'm thinking about this. Contemplation is thinking an extended duration in that direction. In other words, it's just not a thought in the morning and then I go about my life. It's a thought all day long and I keep it up and it's a thought the next day. And I am focused on my relationship with the Lord. It's thinking about it. How can we do this? I'll tell you what, how I do it. I find verses like the Philippians 1:9, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these verses. And I meditate on it, and I think about it. And I wake up and I think about it. And then I think about it again. And I just keep thinking about it. And I say, Lord, how can I do this? How can I have my love abound more and more? It causes me to get up from my study and go knock on the door of the next door house. You understand what I'm saying? It causes you to say, you know what? I probably ought not to just sit here. Maybe I ought to get off my duff and do something. You understand what I'm saying? But you're thinking about it. You're meditating on it. And I'll tell you another issue on it. Pray. Ask God to say, God, help me to love you more. God, I want your help to love you more. I want to be more the love of God. I want the love of God to flow from me. And I'm telling you, that is not the way the majority of us have been living this week. And shame on us. Because this passage has been there all along, and these others that are talking about this. This is to be our life. Ask yourself, here's some questions. How does knowing that I am loved by God affect what I think about myself and what I say about myself?
Oh, I'm depressed, man. I just made such a mess.
No, it isn't. That isn't. You don't do that. You say, you know what? I'm connected to God. God loves me, and He wants the best for me. As a matter of fact, He wants me to live victoriously. It changes, doesn't it? It changes the way you look at life. Try this question. How would it affect the way you respond to insults or criticism? Say, you don't know what you're talking about. God loves me. Instead of the world's way, let me meet you out back. You know, let's settle this thing right now. But isn't that in the flesh what we do? Our world has taught us to do this. Try this question. How would it affect my need for recognition and approval? I don't need it. As I've said before, my one son and I talk a fair amount, and we often, in our conversation, remind ourselves, in the end, we do what we do for an audience of one. If we're right with God, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. How would it affect my life's work? I'll tell you what, it motivates my life work. What's it doing in yours? The love of God. I want to be the man that God wants me to be. I want to be the dad that God wants me to be. I want to be the grandpa that God wants me to be. I want to be the husband that God wants me to be. In every aspect, I want to be the man that God wants me to be. And then pray, Lord, make your love real in me. That's what I'm challenged. That's the challenge of the night, by the way. Lord, make your love real in me. The great resource of love, the love is to be our life, and God's power accessed in His love. And that's what this passage is teaching us. Because of the time, you go back and read this, you will recognize that He's talking about the power. He's talking about the power, but He's saying the power is found in connecting and understanding and comprehending the love of God for you. And how that is to be flowing out of our lives. And that matches with the great commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and love with all thy soul. And the second is likened unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. So if you've got some others that are kind of giving you grief, instead of being negative towards them, love them. Sacrificially give yourself to meet the need that they have. This passage in Ephesians, 1 John, write those down. I think they're in my notes, aren't they? Read them later. I'm telling you, look at how it ends in verse 11. Behold, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. That's different than hate. That's different than put up with. That's sacrificially giving yourself to meet a need. What kind of power are we talking about? Talking about power over sin? We're talking power over weakness. We're talking power over fear. We're talking power over shame. We're talking power over despair. We're talking power over rage. Any of these things sound familiar? We're talking about power over lust. This is the victory to a lustful lifestyle. It's a loving God. It's the power over greed. It's the power over pride. It's the power over doubt. It's the power over our past sins.